Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. So, this is going to sound strange at first, but stay with me. There's an article making the rounds right now called Writing Code Was Never the Hard Part. And the title alone is making people uncomfortable, because if you've spent years getting fast at writing code, hearing that speed doesn't matter anymore. That's unsettling. But here's what the piece is actually saying. The bottleneck has moved. As AI gets better at writing code, the thing that determines whether you ship or sink isn't how fast you type. It's how clearly you think. The engineers winning right now are the ones who can write specifications so precise that an AI system has nothing to guess at. Think about that for a second. The expensive problems were never missing semicolons. They were assumptions that looked like requirements. Requirements that shifted between meetings. Behaviors that everyone knew, except the people building the system. When specifications are ambiguous, every engineer invents their own version of the truth, and every stakeholder assumes the old rules still apply. That same ambiguity creates machine confusion too. The engineers who learn to translate ambiguity into specification, what goes in, what comes out, what happens at the edges, they just had their value compounded, they're shipping faster than ever. The ones still fighting assumptions, they're shipping the same problems, just with a faster typing assistant. And here's the uncomfortable bit. This reveals what AI is actually bad at. It's brilliant at implementation. It's terrible at the work engineers always pretended was easy. Sitting in a meeting with stakeholders, asking the follow-up question that reveals what nobody voiced, pushing back when requirements contradict what another team shipped. That's the real moat now. Not how fast you code, how clearly you think. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. Right. So moving to something completely different. MIT researchers just trained a warehouse system to keep hundreds of robots moving smoothly by learning which robots should get priority at each moment. And this is where it gets interesting. They used a hybrid approach. Deep reinforcement learning decides priorities. Then a fast classical algorithm routes each robot. The result? 25% better throughput than traditional methods. 25%. That's not a marginal gain. That's the difference between breaking even and profitable. But what I keep coming back to is how the system learns. It's predicting congestion before it happens, spotting patterns in traffic flow that human-designed algorithms miss. Because here's the thing, when you're managing hundreds of moving objects, the optimal decision at any moment depends on what's about to happen three intersections away. That's too much for rule-based systems to handle, but it's exactly what reinforcement learning is good at. The takeaway: physical coordination problems, the ones we thought needed careful human design, are starting to look like pattern recognition problems, and pattern recognition is where machine learning shines. Think about where else that applies. Okay, so staying with robotics for a moment. But this one's about sensors. A team working on autonomous navigation just published something that made me stop and reread it. Vibration sensors, accelerometers, and IMUs mounted at wheel assemblies are picking up terrain instability before vision systems detect it. Cameras and LiDAR show you what the terrain looks like, but accelerometers feel what the terrain does. Localized impacts, ground contact physics, the difference between stable and about to slip. And that matters because by the time a camera sees a robot tipping, it's too late to correct. But if you feel the instability in the vibration data, you can react before the visual problem appears. It's a completely different kind of input, and it's enabling predictive stability control on rough terrain. What this really means is that sensor fusion isn't just about combining inputs for accuracy. It's about combining different kinds of knowing. Visual, tactile, predictive. Have a think about what that changes for deployment in unstructured environments. Right. Let me shift gears again. Import AI just dropped their 454th edition, and there are two things in there that are worth your attention. First, Anthropic automated alignment research. They built a system that achieved 97% performance gap recovery in weak to strong supervision. The human baseline? 23%. 97 versus 23. That's not incremental. That's a different game entirely. What that means is that the work of aligning weaker models to stronger ones, teaching them to follow instructions reliably, can now be automated at a level that beats human researchers. The implications for scaling alignment work are massive. But here's the second thing, and this one's uncomfortable. Chinese models are showing fewer CBRN refusals. That's chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear safety questions, but higher political censorship than Western models. Kimi K2, 5 specifically. So the safety boundaries are different, not missing, different. And that raises questions about what safety means when it's culturally defined. I'm still processing this one myself, honestly. But it's worth thinking about as these models go global. Okay, so This next one is for anyone building with AI agents. There's a piece called Agent Harness Engineering. And the core insight is this. A coding agent isn't just the model. It's the model plus prompts, tools, context policies, hooks, sandboxes, feedback loops, the scaffolding around the model. That's first-class engineering work now. Harness engineering means tightening that scaffolding every time the agent slips. It's not prompt engineering. It's systems engineering. And the teams that treat it that way, they're the ones shipping reliable agents. What stood out to me is how this reframes the problem. We've been obsessing over model quality, bigger models, better models, but the reliability bottleneck isn't the model, it's everything around it. The takeaway? If you're building agents, spend as much time on the harness as you do on the model, maybe more. And actually, speaking of harness engineering, there's a related piece on something called code mode. Sunil Pai at Cloudflare is demonstrating a different approach to agent systems. Instead of JSON tool calling, you generate executable JavaScript from the agent. Why does that matter? Because it's more efficient, it's stateful, and it allows complex system interactions at scale. JSON tool calling works, but it's clunky. Every tool call is a round trip, every interaction is isolated. Code mode lets the agent write programs, not just call functions. That's a conceptual shift, and it opens up possibilities that structured tool calling can't reach. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The through line today is about where the hard work actually is. It's not where we thought. It's not in typing code faster. It's in writing specifications that eliminate ambiguity. It's not in designing traffic algorithms. It's in letting systems learn patterns we can't see. It's not in building bigger models. It's in building better scaffolding around them. The bottlenecks have moved. And the people who see that clearly, they're the ones building the next wave. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.